Good morning. I hope everybody's having a great sunny day and excited to be here this morning. If I haven't met you before, it's because I spend the majority of my time the other end of the building with our fabulous children. But I am Elise, and I am the children's pastor here. So I'm glad that we could be here during this time. And as we get started in our message, let's take a minute and have a time of prayer. Jesus, thank you so much for loving us. Thank you so much for providing for us. I pray that you would open all of our hearts to hear what you need us to hear this morning so that we can go through this upcoming week being our best for you, making a difference, being an influencer. We just thank you, Father, that you are here with us now, and I pray that we would glorify you in this time, and we ask this in Jesus' name, amen. If this is your first Sunday here, you can fill out a connection card. There should be one in the back seat of your chair in front of you, and then you can put it on the little tables or in the little boxes that are on either side of the door as you leave, but we would love to learn a little bit more about you. Our pastor will be back next week. He had an opportunity to do something really unique and fun with his family, and that included riding his bike for 50 miles. And 50. I don't think I could do that. In fact, I know I couldn't do 5, so I'm very impressed with him. And he posted his time yesterday, and it was under 4 hours, and I think that's good. It's better than what I would have done. So I'm proud of him for trying. It was a fundraiser, and it also gave him a unique opportunity to spend time with his family, extended family. So, and that includes stopping off and getting to spend some time with his mom and dad. So that's very good. Today we're going to take some time to imagine. And if you have ever heard me speak, then you know a couple things about me. One is that I collect testimonies because I believe testimonies are the living gospel. And two, I don't like Christian music or Christian movies, but I am a Christian, I promise. And I like some of them, and I love the music that we do on Sunday mornings. I think it's awesome, and it inspires worship in me. But I'm talking about songs on the radio. I don't always have those kinds of songs on, just because they don't grab me like some songs do. But one that has always grabbed me, and one movie that I was surprised that grabbed me, was I Can Only Imagine. I Can Only Imagine is a song, book, and movie by Bart Miller. He didn't write the movie, but he participated in the movie getting made. He wrote the song. And it was released in 2001, and it became, just mega popular. And in its popularity, it became the number one selling Christian single of all time back in 2001. Today, that has not changed. It is still that popular. And so as a result, as he started sharing the testimony that goes with the song, people became more and more interested in his story, and so therefore the book and the movie came out. So just to kind of get a gist of where I'm taking you and to be able to understand his journey a little bit, we're actually going to look at a brief clip about his story. So we're going to unpack that a little bit, and I want to, as we go through this message, I want to encourage you to think about your role as an influencer. Maybe that role is in the life of a child, that's your child, the life of a child as a teacher, as an extended family member. But every single one of us has the opportunity to be an influencer in the area of helping somebody understand a loving father, forgiveness, and going home, which are the three things that we're going to imagine today. We're going to start by looking and imagining a loving father. So we're going to take a look at some scripture. And the scripture says, "Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? Jesus replied, let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. Then John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water, and at that moment heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. That's Matthew 3, 13 through 17. This scripture shows that a loving Father is present, that of course a loving Father is loving, and that a loving Father is affirming. See, Bart didn't have any of those things from his dad. When he was two, his dad suffered a brain injury, and his dad went from being a loving parent and a loving spouse and a loving member of the community to waking up from a coma and being an angry, abusive individual. He went home that way, and they lived like that as a family for a while until Bart's mother couldn't handle it anymore, and she left the family. So when she left the family, Bart started getting the brunt of the abuse. But when Bart was in high school, and at this point, he himself was a Christian and involved in a church. When Bart was in high school, his father became a Christian, and it happened very privately and very quietly, but it totally transformed him. And almost kind of like the brain injury he had, where one moment he was a good man and the next minute he was a monster. Now he was a monster, and he wasn't a good man. He was transformed into a godly man. And so instead of coming home to an angry parent every day, Bart came home to a parent that was praying for him, a parent that was humble enough to ask for forgiveness, and a parent that he often found reading the Bible. But that put Bart in a tough position because he saw this transformation and he wanted the relationship, but he had to forgive his father for that to happen. And he was willing to forgive anybody before he forgave his father for what he had gone through. But he had to imagine forgiveness. So let's take a look at what scripture says about that. So we're looking in Luke 15, verses 20 through 24. And this is the story, very familiar to us, of the prodigal son. So he got up and went to his father, but while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I no longer worthy to be called your son. And part of me wonders if that ever happened between Bart and his dad, if his dad ever said, as a transformed man of God, I am not worthy. I have sinned against you. I've sinned against heaven, and I'm not really worthy to be your dad. I don't know. I know he desperately wanted to be from the testimony that's been shared. But the father said to his servants, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And so they began to celebrate. Forgiveness is really hard. But as much as Bart did not want to forgive his dad, he could not ignore the fact that his father was transformed. And he said out loud in front of an audience, if God could change that man, then I wanted to go deeper into that gospel. And so he forgave his father, and his father actually started discipling him, because his father threw all of his energy into learning who God was, what the Bible said, and how it should affect him. Because at this point in our story, Bart's dad was home dying from cancer. So this part of the story was about a four-year story, which is hard to tell if you've ever seen the movie because it's just hard to tell time, but it took about 4 years. And during that 4 years, Bart was his night nurse. And he couldn't wait to spend time with his dad, because in the middle of the night, they would talk deep theology, and his father would tell him things that he needed to know, and he would tell him things that God expected of him. And the fact that Bart just drank all that in is just amazing, but he said it changed him. And to this day, that he, as a father of five, still passes the wisdom that his father passed on to him to his children. If Bart had never been willing to forgive his father, he would have missed out on all of that. He would have missed out on an amazing relationship where God truly transformed somebody from being a monster to being somebody who could disciple him and be his best friend. And so when the painful time came that his dad died, he could only imagine what heaven was going to be like. He could only imagine what one day a reunion between he and his dad would look like. And he could only imagine what it would be like to be in front of Jesus. Let's take a look at that next clip. I love that too. I love that hope. I love thinking about heaven and what that means like for believers. And so now I do want to go to the scripture where it says imagine heaven, or imagine going home. And I love this scripture because I think it's exciting. So let's go ahead and look at that. It says, do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, but believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms, and if that were not so, I would have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you with me to be with me also, that you may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. John 14:1-4. I actually had a friend that gave me a framed picture that said, you know, in heaven there are many mansions, and I hope yours is next to mine, which I always thought was kind of fun because it captured in a fun way the fact that we're going to be reunited and we're going to stand in front of Jesus. And I think about that a lot, and I can't wait. And it doesn't mean that I want to die. It just means that I can't wait. And I think part of that for me is because I've had some near-death experiences. I had a heart attack in 2003. It was pretty major. And as a result, however many years later, 16 years later, you know, the cardiologist in each visit gives me less pleasant news. And I don't know what's going to happen there. And I don't know if whatever happens is going to happen soon or going to happen, you know, over a period of time. But it's going to happen. And I'm okay with that. And in addition to the heart attack and the heart issues that have followed, I had malaria in Kenya in 2010. I'm not really sure if that was life-threatening, but I was praying to die. It was awful. And then in 2014, I lost my dad. And the pain of that loss was, in some moments and some days, crippling. And it is with me in some way, shape, or form every day. So I think about heaven a lot. There have been times where I ask Siri to put that song on in my car, and I sing at the top of my voice, which, if we're stuck in traffic, is unpleasant for those around me if the windows are down, but you know what? That is on them. But I don't know what's going to happen, but I know that I am ready for it. And I know that I feel very comfortable imagining what it's going to be like to run into the arms of my Heavenly Father. I know what it feels like to, I know that I'm excited about that someday I will have be reunited with my earthly father. And I'm excited that I'm going to see the saints that have gone before me. But you know what? Every day I prepare for this. Every day I prepare for it. I love hard. I work hard. I accept the love of Jesus and I rest in it. I forgive others and I forgive myself. I rejoice in transformation and I want to be a part of transformation of others. I want to be the physical presence of Christ to those around me. I trust God in my pain and I trust God with the pain that one day my absence will cause others. I trust him with the pain I am already dreading about the future loss and grief I will experience, because being excited about heaven does not equal the lack of extreme grief and pain. I dread it even with the hope that I have, and I have a lot of hope. However, when it comes to heaven, I can imagine it, and I'm ready even though I don't know when it's going to happen. So my question is, what about you? Regardless if you're a parent, you have influence in somebody's life. But you know what amazes me about this story is that as much as Bart's father put him through, Bart's father always had the most influence in his life. In fact, the reason that Bart became a member of the Glee Club, which led him down the path that he went on, was because he was trying to please his father and he was playing football and he had an injury that he could not recover from. And so when you think about who you have influence on and you think about the things and the areas that we're discussing, are you prepared to share with those you have influence on of what a loving father is, who and how a loving father acts in your life? Are you able and willing? And when I say father, that's for the sake of this discussion. I mean person. Are you, but person for you and father for God. So are you willing to be able to share with somebody verbally, hey, this is who God is, and this is what he's doing in my life? Can you imagine yourself doing that if you're not doing that already? And can you imagine yourself being the kind of person that the people you have influence on want to follow? Because again, it wasn't through words that Bart was convinced to forgive his father and then to let his father disciple him. It was through his father's actions and then his words. His father was transformed. Have you been vulnerable enough to ask forgiveness? Have you been vulnerable enough to tell your story of forgiveness, either receiving it or giving it to those you have influence with? I think those are the kinds of things that change. It changes how people see God. It changes people's desire to be discipled, to follow Jesus on their own. Have you been willing and able to talk about your own feelings and thoughts about heaven to somebody? Do those that you have influence over know what you think about where heaven is concerned? That it, even though you don't necessarily want to see yourself or them go to be with Jesus anytime soon. I don't know if it's a bad day, you might feel differently about that. I don't know. But probably not very soon. But that at the same time when it happens, that you rejoice and that you're excited about it. Have you thought about if that's even how you feel about it? And maybe you need to start thinking, can you imagine what it's going to be like to stand in front of Jesus? And when you embrace those things, then those are things that give automatic influence to those that you have influence over, because they see it, because they witness it, because they hear it. I do want to take a minute to say that even in the midst of that kind of transformation, and even in the midst of that kind of discipleship, I do want to say that the pain that Bart's father did to him was significant. And even though I believe in all the things that I just said, and scripture backs me up in everything that I've just said, sometimes you need help in getting to those places. And even though Bart was willing to forgive his father and he was willing to be discipled by his dad, he still had a lot of pain. And one of the things that he had was just those old tapes of worthlessness playing in his head. And I'm a children's pastor, so there are two things that are going to happen in my sermon that won't ever happen in David or Lexis, I don't think. And I told them that. And you can feel free to remind David that I gave out money and books. So Carter, I'm going to ask you to come up here for a second. And I'm going to offer you $5. Would you like $5? Sure. What would you do with $5? I'm going to give it to you. There's nothing you have to do to earn it, but I'm going to give it to you, and you don't have to do anything for it. But what are you going to do with that? I'm just curious.
I have no idea.
Maybe go get some lunch.
Probably. Well,
only pay for lunch maybe at Chick-fil-A, but I don't know. You could go to the person who I offered it to earlier was a child, and she said she was going to save it, and I was horrified by that. And I told her where Five Below is. So, okay, well, so before I give it to you, I'm going to make it so I'm going to rough it up a little bit. Here, you want to take part in that? It's kind of fun. Just her. So, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Okay. Would you still like it? Okay, why would you still like it?
It's still $5.
It's still $5. The worth of it has not changed. No matter what has happened to it, the worth has not changed. I'll let you unfold it. You're welcome. Enjoy. So, Jeff, Carter's father, is our money person here at the church, and he does an amazing job. Can I turn a receipt in for that? David said any prop stuff had to come out of my own pocket. Is that true? Oh, okay. Enjoy, Carter, and let me know. I think that when you have been so wounded, you are going to have to take a minute to realize that you still have worth. And you might have to get help with that. And you might have to have other people walk alongside of you. But that doesn't mean that the other things aren't true as well. And I was really proud that he shared that part of his story. He talked about how, you know, he got to almost 400 pounds because he wasn't dealing with stuff. And so those two things can be together. They can walk hand in hand in that you are loving Jesus, you are serving Jesus, but there's a part of you that isn't really dealing with life and helping you to be your very best for Jesus. So he got the counseling, he got healthy, and he started understanding that there was nothing that he needed to do to make God love him more. So I think that is probably something that we need to hold on to every day, because I think that is probably one of the hardest things about the gospel for us to embrace. There's nothing else you need to do. Bart did not need to come up with one more hit song. You do not have to do one more thing in service of God for him to love you fiercely, truly, madly, deeply. So I hope that you will embrace that. And I hope that as you embrace that, I hope that that will just pour out so that the other things we discussed are going to be so easy for you to do, that you know you are a loved child of the King. So therefore, you're going to be able to practice and receive forgiveness. You're going to understand and illustrate a loving Father. And you're going to be excited and share how exciting heaven is. We're going to take a second and do a little bit of creative ministry or creative worship as we look at the song that we've been talking about. But before that, I have a door prize. because I'm the children's pastor. So if you have an I scribbled on your bulletin, then I have a prize for you. Yes. You have it, Althea?
No, I have the dental mark, but I have the book.
Okay. You know, but do you have it? It is a handwritten I on your bulletin. Yes, you can, Karen, because nobody else is claiming it. So, do you have it? Well, come on and get the book. So this book is actually not his book. It is a book of devotions. It's very similar to his the book that he wrote of his story. I encourage you to listen to that book as an audible. It is just, like I said, our testimonies are God's living gospel. And we are what is out there shining for him day by day. So I hope that you will take a minute and go and listen to that. But before we close, I want us to take a look at the song. And as we look at it, I want you to think about your role. And I want you to think about getting excited about heaven. And I want you to think about how you're going to express that to somebody else. And why you're excited, and what steps in your life led up to that excitement. And so as we look at it, think about that. Think about the words of the song. Sing loud and proud if you want to. It doesn't matter that you're not in a car where the windows roll down. Sing loud and proud and let others hear you. But let's go ahead and take a look at this song that has had such a big influence on the world. So I want to end our time today saying two things. One is that in the transformation that happened with Bart and his dad, Bart learned two things. One is that when Bart was a teenager, which is when all of this took place, he went and sang at church and told his dad, "I'm singing at church. If you want to listen, it's on the radio." And Bart's dad listened to Bart on the radio, and after all those years of saying, "Your dreams are foolish," he listened to him on the radio, and then he listened to the message, and that is when he gave his heart to Christ. And he didn't immediately share that with Bart, but he did one night when they were having their time together. He shared that with him, and he said, "You have a gift, and I want to be a part of that gift, and so I've made sure that my life insurance," because he was dying at this time, "will go to you." And one thing the movie doesn't show is that he had a brother, and for some reason the father's abuse never went to the brother the way that it went to Bart. But he said, and it was only $600 a month, but it was going to be for 10 years. And for a struggling musician, $600 when you're trying to make it, that's a lot of money. That ran out the week before "I Cannot Imagine" became the number one song. And his father just kind of, when he had told him about the money 10 years before, he kind of winked at him and said, "And then I'll see what I can do." Isn't that awesome? I'm glad we could have this time together. And I don't know a lot, but I know that I do look forward to being with Jesus one day. And if I happen to go before you, I will give big hugs to those that have gone before all of us, that are in your family and that you know. And then I look forward to us all being together. So let me pray for us. Father, thank you that we can be an influence. Thank you that we have hope. Thank you that we have forgiveness. Thank you, Father, that you transform. And I pray that we will dwell on those things and think about those things and let those things transform us. I pray, Father, that you would just do great things in the lives of these dear ones as we go through this next week. We thank you and we praise you and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.